Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Reporter. Joining us today is Don Mardak, CEO of International Monetary Systems. The company trades on the bulletin board, and the ticker symbol is ITNM, and they are a worldwide leader in business-to-business barter services. Thanks for joining us today, Don.
Thank you for having me.
Great. Anytime now. Start off by explaining to us a little bit about the your business model, how the barter model works.
Well, there's a good reason why business people would barter or trade their services or products, and that's because most people have some excess capacity. And obviously, they would like to get all the cash business that they can, but if they don't have enough cash customers, it's very logical to trade that excess capacity. And the problem, though, with trading in general is that it's very difficult to make a direct trade with someone because they may not want what you're offering or vice versa. You may not want what they have. And so a barter network like IMS Barter has been created to make that process easier and actually much more doable. The reason it works is because we've created a virtual currency, which we refer to as trade dollars. IMS trade dollars become the medium of exchange in our barter system. And it functions, it operates just like money. Let's say you own a restaurant, you could serve meals and accept trade dollars for those meals, and in turn, then you wouldn't have to necessarily just trade with the person who came in case that person were a construction worker or a chiropractor or a dog walker, but instead you could use those trade dollars to purchase advertising or printing or carpet cleaning or window washing or whatever is relevant to your business. And that's the beauty of the program. There's flexibility, and yet you're trading. You're not trading directly with anybody, and yet you're continuing to do business. But most importantly, by becoming a member of the system, you get business that you would not otherwise have, because all the other members who are already in the program would like to use their trade dollars rather than cash for their expenditures. And so I've seen people drive across an entire city to go to a car wash or a dry cleaner, passing a half a dozen car washes and dry cleaners along the way, but only the ones who accept the IMS trade dollars get the business. So the model is basically that you are offering to trade your services to get more customers, and when you trade those services, you get quite a benefit in addition to just getting the new customer, because you will now be getting what we refer to as barter leverage, as a special tool that you can use. Barter leverage means that everybody has a profit in their product that they're selling. And if you trade that product at list price, you only have to pay the wholesale price for it to your supplier. So when you trade that for, let's say, dental work or clothing or office supplies, you're buying all those other products or services at a discounted price, at the wholesale cost of your own products. That's what we refer to as barter leverage. Every time you use a cash dollar, it is a dollar. It's already been banked, and it will go out of your checking account and reduce your capital by that much. Every time you use a trade dollar, you're using a dollar that has a cost in it at a substantially lower price, the wholesale cost of your products. So those combined factors, the fact that you are getting customers that you wouldn't have, and then when you spend those dollars, you're getting a discount on everything that you buy, are two powerful reasons why people should trade.
Well, great. And so talk to us about your what were some of the value drivers behind your positive quarterly results?
We have worked real hard the past year to reduce overhead and to consolidate some of the acquisitions we had done in the past. Our company has grown very much. In fact, since about 2005, can't get into the century, since about 2005, we have grown about 30% per year in revenue. And that was fueled primarily through acquisitions. We have acquired other trade exchanges. In America, in North America, there are about 200, maybe 250 independent trade exchanges across the country. Most of these are smaller operations. They're local in scope, and yet they're very good businesses that are helping their communities find another way to do business. Many of those people, though, have reached retirement age or are at least considering exits. And because of our company being public and having done this for quite some time now, they've turned to us as their source of an exit. They've allowed us to acquire their exchange. And through the years, we've made about 27 acquisitions, which is how we've grown to our present size. This past year, we've taken a little breather for two reasons, partly because our stock price was quite undervalued and it was very difficult to use our stock as a medium of exchange in the acquisitions, and secondly, because we wanted to truly synergize everything that we had acquired. You know, when two banks merge, there are economies of scale. They don't need to have the entire accounting office in every branch office. Usually, each branch office will just have the tellers, a loan officer, maybe a security specialist, but they won't have all that back room, that whole crew of backroom people working in each branch. And the same thing is true for us. So as we've acquired these trade exchanges, we have found so many economies of scale as well. But it's taken us a while to consolidate all this because we grew very fast. And now with the consolidation, we found a way to truly show profits. And so our revenues last year had reached about $14 million. And that was derived from $114 million worth of barter transactions that generated that revenue because we receive a fee on every transaction. As a result, we had some very good numbers. We've had it for the whole year now, in particular in this third quarter. We had reduced our payroll by about $1.3 million. We had reduced our debts by about $1.5 million. In addition, we have earnings before interest, taxes, and depreciation of about $1.5 million through the first 9 months of the year. And all those numbers really imply that our stock is extremely low priced and a very good buy at this time.
Well, great. And so who are some of your key competitors, and what makes the company unique from some of the players in your sector?
Well, first of all, competition in our industry is quite different from in almost any other field. For example, if you were an automobile dealer and you sell BMWs, if a client or a customer walked in your door and shopped your store but then walked across the street and bought a Lexus, you've lost that sale. That's real true competition. The same thing is true in almost any retail type of venture. If somebody shops at one store and goes to the other one, even online if they go to one company and then go to the other one to buy the products, that's competition. You've lost those sales and probably lost them forever. In our case, we have a certain number of members in each of our markets that are signed up to do business with us. And if somebody new were to start up in that marketplace, and even if they called on one of our clients and induced them to join their system, they wouldn't quit ours to do that. In fact, in many cases, when people do become part of two or three barter systems, they become better traders because they get more into it. They become true disciples of the barter concept. So the competition is very small in that sense, or very insignificant. And secondly, most every other trade exchange in America is, like I said before, a local organization. Our company, because of our acquisition program, has become national in scope. We have about 17,000 clients across America, actually across North America, because we also have an office in Toronto, Canada. And our client base ranges from uptown Manhattan in New York City all the way across to the San Francisco Bay Area, with many stops in between. We have client bases in Las Vegas and Denver, in Reno, in Chicago, Milwaukee, Columbus, Ohio, Rochester, New York, Syracuse, Buffalo, Hartford, Connecticut, Boston, and so on. So we have clients all across America, and that makes us far above any competition. And because of the fact that then clients who belong to international monetary systems have the opportunity to purchase so many more products than they would from just a local exchange. One example, we have about 6 wineries in California that are able to ship wine across the country into any states where it's legal to accept the shipment of wine. We have other clients who sell products of all types that are now able to ship those products across the country. And one special reason they can do that is we've just created an internet-based marketplace that's much like the eBay model. Our clients can now go online to our website, which is imsbarter.com, and there they can enter the marketplace and see over $15 million worth of products that are for sale that they can purchase using their trade dollars.
Well, definitely. And so, and perhaps you could walk us through your background and experience as well as that of some of the key management team.
Well, I've been in the barter business since 1984, and that's one of the strong points about our company, why we are a great stock play for anybody who's looking at the small cap stocks today, because unlike most companies, which are just startups or somebody who has an idea that may or may not happen, in our case, we've been in business since 1985. I became involved in the industry in 84, and after 1 year started my own company. We called it Continental Trade Exchange at that time, and have since evolved into the International Monetary Systems, or IMS, barter network. And with that background, we've made a lot of friends in the industry. We are a part of the industry's national associations. I currently am on the board of directors of the IRTA, which is the International Reciprocal Trade Association. And that organization is somewhat of a watchdog for the industry that brings us all together to work together with reciprocal trading and to learn from each other and to just create a great environment for the barter industry. There's a second organization called NATE, the National Association of Trade Exchanges, and I'm a two-time past president of that organization. So we are very much a player in this industry. And our two chief operating officers, our two vice presidents, are Dale Mardak and John Strably. And they are two people who, again, have a great track record in the industry. They've been at it for about 14 to 18 years, and they have a great reputation as well and are well-respected in the industry.
And what objectives and milestones has the management team here set over the course of the next year?
Well, as I say, first of all, to truly become as profitable as we can, and we are doing that. If you, again, look at our last 10Q that was filed, and by the time you see our 10K, you'll realize that this was a great year of profitability and success for our company. But we also intend to continue to grow. I say we grew mostly through acquisitions in the past, but we've also always had a certain measure of organic growth along with that, usually about 8 to 10% a year, and we're going to strive for much greater organic growth going forward. And part of that is through using the Internet. We know that companies like YouTube or eBay or Facebook and all of the new social networking websites have grown dramatically fast. And we are working to achieve some of those same results by, first of all, appearing on all those websites. We're becoming a part of all of that. We're going to be looking for some special relationships with some of the larger companies that are that would synergize with what we are doing. And again, we are also striving very much to attract more people to our website to sign up online. The way we normally grow is through our sales force. We have a force of a number of salespeople across America with a national sales manager working out of our Columbus, Ohio office. That's signing up clients one at a time, and it's a good, stable way to grow. However, we believe that we can have an explosion of growth through the Internet as we continue to get our name out there and to become much better known and to have more people coming to us to just sign up on our website. And that's been done as we've run ads in recent months in some of the major publications in the country. We've had half-page ads in Forbes magazine, in Fortune, in Fast Company, in Money, and Inc., and such, and Business Week, and publications of that type. We've been on websites. We've had a tremendous amount of publicity lately. I personally have been interviewed by Neil Cavuto on the Fox Business Channel. I was interviewed by Chris Bellario on Bloomberg's Venture Show, and we were featured on the CBS Evening News with Katie Couric, and our company is getting a tremendous amount of publicity in this past year, and all of that is leading to many more Internet signups as people are coming to us to join the program. So our goals are to grow as fast as we can and yet to do it in a profitable manner.
Well, good, and so... Well, first off, so what is your, based on, you know, where do your revenues come from? Is it a membership fee?
Our prime revenues come from transaction fees, just as they do for MasterCard or Visa. Every time a merchant processes a transaction, there's a fee paid to those credit card processors. eBay and companies like that receive a fee every time someone sells a product online in their system. And the same is true for us. Our clients pay a fee each time they do a transaction. We also have a monthly maintenance fee that they pay, and those things generate our revenue. As I said, the past year we did about $114 million in trade dollar volume. That's the number of trades that took place, and that generated for us about $14 million of revenue.
Well, good. And so in terms of investors, do you think, Don, that right now the company's message and investment story is completely understood and appreciated by the financial community?
I don't believe that it is at this time, partly because they haven't heard it in all cases, and sometimes because they just haven't quite understood the powerful nature of what this business really can be. Many investors are looking for a big hit, a 10-bagger, if you will, a stock that's going to soar because it's going to make a major impact on some aspect of our economy. For example, a pharmaceutical company that might find the cure for AIDS or cancer would certainly have a great upside potential. A mineral mining company that can find the gold in their hills, or an oil company that can find oil at the bottom of its wells. All of those things could be explosive. Well, IMS Barter and International Monetary Systems can be just as explosive because we are capable of making a major impact on the entire economy of our nation. And that is a strong statement to make, but it's been done before. In Switzerland, there is a firm there called VIR, W-I-R. It's an acronym for a long German phrase, and VIR, the VIR Bank, was a barter company like ours that was started in 1934 and grew to such an extent that it has actually become part of the Swiss banking system, and it has helped to become a stabilizing effect on the Swiss economy. And I believe that IMS Barter has the potential to do that same thing for the American economy. And that is our primary goal, to achieve that really special purpose that could mean so much to the economy and then, of course, to our company as well. And that would mean that the stock would certainly have great upside potential. I also believe the stock is extremely undervalued. We just recently made an announcement that we are doing a share buyback as a company. We're intending to buy back a good number of shares in the marketplace because we know it is totally undervalued. At our present price, which was, I guess the last trade was at about 85 cents, that's just about one times our book value. We're trading at book value. Many companies trade at 3, 4, 5 times book value. We're trading at about 60% of our revenue. Anybody trades at 3, 4, or 5 times their revenue. Our stock has, based upon our earnings, the EBITDA that I was projecting, it's way undervalued again. In almost any metric that you look at, this stock has a great upside potential.
Well, great. And so once again, joining us today is Don Mardak, CEO of International Monetary Systems, which trades on the bulletin board. Ticker symbol is ITNM. Currently, as mentioned, trading at 85 cents a share. Now, before we conclude, Don, just to kind of rehash, what do you believe are some of the key reasons that investors should consider the company as a good long-term investment opportunity?
Well, there are a number of factors that make us unique. First of all, just the longevity. Having been in business for almost 25 years is real special in the microcap arena. There aren't that many small-cap companies that can say that, so many are just startups with an idea. Secondly, we have recurring revenues, a phrase that a lot of people like to hear. I've owned other businesses, and I've watched, even among our client base, companies that struggle so much for various reasons. Maybe they have one key account, and that account goes south on them or leaves them, and suddenly they don't have much business left. We have a tremendous distribution of risk because 17,000 clients make up our revenue stream, and each one of them owes a very small amount of money, but when you put it all together, it becomes a very large revenue stream. Yet if any one or any 10 or any 100 of them were to go out of business tomorrow, it wouldn't impact us by that much, the way most companies can be affected. And because we have monthly service fees in place and transaction fees every time somebody makes a trade, there are those recurring revenues that are as stable as anything I've ever seen. If you could look at our software and just see our historical nature of our revenue history, from the time every time we move it up to a new plateau, it seems to stay at that level and never falls back off again. And as we continue to grow, that recurring revenue will always be there. So with those factors in place, and then as long as we control the overhead, there's no question that we won't be a strong company with good earnings and positive results.
Well, we certainly look forward to continuing to track your company's growth and report on your upcoming progress. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us today and to update our investors, Don.
Thank you very much.